Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 16th day of September 2024. Before I introduce to you my guest and the topic for today, I have an important reminder for all men in ministry leadership. If you would like to attend the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, it will be held on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. We are featuring for the very first time ever as our guest speaker, Dr. Joe Boot, who is a world-renowned author, conference speaker, and founder and president of the Ezra Institute. Dr. Boot is flying all the way from London, England, here to Pennsylvania in the United States to be our keynote speaker at this free luncheon. So if you'd like to attend, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And I think I may have once again given you the information if you're sending in a question to my guest. If you're attending, give me your full name, the name of your church, the name of your parachurch organization, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. That's what I meant to say. So send that email to me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I hope to see you on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Today we have a returning guest, a truly fascinating guest. In fact, if anybody listening wants to hear the first interview I conducted with my guest, go to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and type in the name William Allen. And William was my guest once before on this program. In fact, I was the very first person ever to interview William. And by the way, also, William Allen is a pen name, an alias. And we began our discussion on From Transgendered to Transformed by Christ. And we are going to continue that conversation today with part two of that conversation. But if you want to hear part one after this program is over, just type in William Allen, A-L-L-E-N. And that recording will come up, which was that interview was conducted on July 2nd of this year. And we're having William back on the show because the book that he was in the process of writing and getting published when we did part one of this conversation not man enough to be a woman, transgendered for 30 years, No Lie Lives Forever. That book was not yet in print when we started this conversation, but now it is. So we wanted to have William back, not only to cover some areas of this vast topic that we did not have an opportunity to cover, but also to promote the book so you all could purchase it. And we also have a limited number of free copies to give away due to the generosity of my guest, William Allen. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to the program, William Allen.
Well, thank you, sir. It's good to be back with you again.
And
thanks for having.
And I am going to be playing a clip from a sermon by William's pastor that is going to summarize the topic of today and William's testimony. And if you could remind me, William, of your pastor's name and the name of the church.
Yeah, it's Dr. William Rice, and it's Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida.
Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida. Okay, well, I am looking forward to hearing again this message that summarizes how he became aware of your situation, and the rest is self-explanatory. Here we go.
I got a letter the other day, kind of surprised me. It was from a person named Maggie. Maggie had written me a couple of times in the past, so it took me a moment, but I remembered getting emails from Maggie, and apparently Maggie said I'd even called her to answer a question. And more than that, Maggie had moved to Clearwater a few years ago and said, I've been coming to your church, and a few years ago, I came to be baptized. You baptized me as Maggie. You didn't know any better. But I'm not Maggie. She said in 1961 when I was born, I was born a male. My name is William. And I lied to you, and I've been lying to a lot of people, including myself. William said, for 30 years, I've lived as a woman. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I got married as a young man. It was a happy marriage, a good woman, and I suppressed that desire, and then it came back, and it ruined my marriage. It cost me and my family. I was estranged with my parents. But I'd settled down to a mostly comfortable life, and almost nobody knew. You didn't know. I know you didn't know, and I thought I was a Christian even. Told people I'd ask Jesus into my heart, but the truth is I never loved to read the Bible. I never had a thirst for the things of God. A couple years ago, she said, I was listening to you preach, and something began to happen in my heart. I began to feel the Holy Spirit stirring and convicting me. I began to watch a lot of it online, but there were videos, and I went back and watched all the videos they had stored up in the archives and the website. And then, you know, I started listening to other preachers. And fortunately, Maggie was listening to really solid Bible preachers. She listed them. I mean, some strong ones. And I began to listen to those, and they made me mad at first. But the more I began to listen, the more I knew they were telling me the truth. And I began to hunger to know God. And I knew I needed to repent. Maggie said the day came when, as I began to listen and think about all that had happened in my life, I realized I needed to repent and turn to God, that I'd never been saved. Maggie wrote me this letter and said, I started to see all the people that I had deceived as a pretend woman, and I saw the relationships with them as false and undeserved. I'm reading the letter Maggie sent me. I don't have time to read it all. In fact, later on, maybe we'll find a way to communicate, because it's so much in this story. Maggie said, I grew more and more disheartened with my own lifestyle. I saw my lifestyle for what it was. I saw my sin for what it was. I broke down crying. I mean ugly crying, because I knew what a vile person I'd been all my life. My desires no longer mattered. I cried out to God, confessing my sins and who I was. Now I knew I needed a Savior. I repented and asked for forgiveness. I turned away from it all. I wanted to be pleasing in His eyes. I wanted to put it all on Jesus. And I gave up my life to Him, whatever required. A level of peace that I have never experienced came over me. Suddenly, nothing in the world mattered any longer, at least not like what Jesus had done for me. I now love reading and studying the Bible. I pray a lot. I love talking to others about Christ, and I take any opportunity to present the gospel. The Holy Spirit is living in me and is changing me, and that's when I knew I wanted to fully repent, detransition. I wanted to glorify God. Maggie, not Maggie anymore, it's William. Had to go through surgeries, which people don't want to do. They want to do the other kind, but they don't know with this kind. I had to go through surgeries. Some things can never be undone, but I changed my Social Security. I had to go through all the legal processes. I had to go back through it all, but I was determined that I would repent and I would find who God really made me to be. And then William, and this is a personal letter, but I asked William, is it okay if I read that? He said, it is. I says, okay if I use your name. I don't have to. He said, no, I want you to. I'm writing a book. I'm going to tell my story. This has been a long time coming. William said this. Will you forgive me, first of all? Because I didn't tell you who it really was. I said, well, of course. And then William said, I know this is a sensitive question. Would you baptize me as William, your brother in Christ? Because now I've been saved. And I want to follow Jesus. So tonight, out at the beach, William's going to get baptized as somebody who wants to follow Jesus. And here's what I want to say to you. I don't know what your story is, but we have all messed up. We've all believed lies a time or two. About ourselves, about others, and that's all an idol is. It's a lie.
Well, that was the clip that we intended to play. And that was a nice summary of what took place in our last interview as well. And so, William, you were baptized that night and have remained a member there in Clearwater, Florida ever since. How many years have you been at this church?
Well, I first started going there in 2016. I just relocated there because both my parents had died and I had family that was going to there. Now, when I say I, at the time, me and Maggie was going there. And he first baptized Maggie in 2016. And, of course, that was under false pretenses. So... yeah, a lot has happened since then, even since he preached that segment there from that sermon. That was May 19th of this year, by the way, and it was only a few days prior to that I had written that letter to him. I had actually stopped going there while I was detransitioning, and I was finding it very difficult to let him know who and what I was, and I put that off till, man, the last minute, but I finally buckled down, and I was finishing up the book, and I thought, I have to let him know, and I wrote that letter to him, and he called me back the next day, and forgave me, and he told me that he was preaching a sermon that very Sunday on repentance, which was huge thing that was missing in my life. And I had been a false convert all those years. And so he asked me if he could use that. And I said, of course. And he also said they were doing another beach baptism that very night. And since he forgave me and he agreed to baptize me again, and I said, sign me up. So we did that. Yeah, a lot has happened since then. When he preached that, I was sitting in the congregation by myself as William. And that was my first outing in public that anybody had, my story had gone public. And it was tough to kind of keep it together, you know, because there's no going back from that. And it was quite emotional. And I still get a little bit choked up when I hear that. And so, yeah, a lot has happened since then. I'm a member, very active in the church. And I have had to make amends with some people, too. And I asked a few people for forgiveness, people that knew Maggie and were friends with Maggie. And they all have forgiven me and are my friends now. And they're supporting what I'm doing, which is wonderful.
Well, praise God. And I know that since you conducted your very first interview with me, you have been on Todd Friel's program, Wretched.
Oh, Wretched Radio. Yeah.
And
just in Atlanta, yeah, and done some other radio interviews as well, and a podcast in Canada, and a couple of other ministries have just contacted me as well, wanting to do interviews. I just met with Ken Ham at the Creation Museum, which was kind of neat. And I've talked to Ray Comfort a couple of times. So, yeah, things are starting to happen.
And folks, as I've already stated, there's a lot of detailed information, a lot more than was in the clip that we played of William's pastor. We have a lot of detailed information in part one of this interview. So after this live show is over, feel free to go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in William Allen into the search engine. And you will see that audio clip come up. And we hope that you are blessed and edified. And I say this because I don't want us to unnecessarily duplicate too much of what we already took the time to address on the part one, which was July 1st of this year. And perhaps if you could, if you'd like to add to the clip of what your pastor had to say, anything else that you want to say that basically summarizes what we've already covered.
Yeah, in talking with people today, I cannot help but say over and over and over again that I am still absolutely amazed at the transformation that I underwent. As we talked about in the first interview, you know, I had dealt with this issue since early childhood. And when I finally transitioned, I mean, it was just so compelling. It was just, the decision was either I was going to transition or I was going to be dead. And I got to say, as compelling as that was, that transition, once I was truly saved and transformed, made new, the compulsion to detransition and glorify God was tenfold, hundredfold. Several people asked me, I said, are you sure you want to do this, to detransition? I get that you're saved and all, but you don't really have to detransition, do you? And I said, of course I do. I mean, how could I possibly talk to others and try to counsel them while I'm still living this unrepentant lifestyle? I can't do that.
Was that Christians who were saying this?
It was Christians. So that kind of makes you wonder where they're coming from, and were they in the same condition that I was at the time? You know what I mean? I really had to drive home the fact that I'm totally new now. I cannot stand living this way. I abhor it, and I want to detransition. I want to be pleasing in God's eyes. I want to glorify God, and I want others to know why this happened. And it was because of God's grace and the transformational healing of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I kept hearing all these pastors that I had started listening to on YouTube and my own pastor, and they were talking about sin and hell and repentance, things that I'd never even heard about before from other pastors. It was all new. And the thing I was seeing was that they were all agreeing on core issues, maybe some differences on secondary issues. But now the pastor, he made reference to some of these guys in that segment that he did. And I'll tell you, the ones that he was talking about are that I told him I was listening to: John MacArthur, Ray Comfort, Todd Friel, Paul Washer, Bodie Balcom, Dustin Peters, and the list goes on and on. Apologists like Frank Turek and Answers in Genesis, you know, Ken Ham and his group. It was just amazing. And I just soaked up their information. And one thing that got me while I was dealing with all this and learning, I knew what was missing. I knew that I had to repent. And these guys were putting the law in my face, you know, and I saw it was like a mirror. And I saw myself for who I really was. And it wasn't until then that I realized what I needed to do. I saw myself for what I was. I saw my sin for what it was. But one thing held me up. And I kept thinking, am I going to have to detransition? Is that what this means? And at the time, it didn't seem practical because I was way more entrenched as Maggie than I ever was as William. And plus, like Pastor said, some things just can't be undone. And I didn't really see a way. And that, honestly, that held me up for almost a year. But then it got to the point, you know, the Holy Spirit was working in me. It got to the point it didn't matter anymore. I hated my life, the way I was living. And I said, I've got to find a way. And I did. And that's when I cried out to God one night, confessed my sins, asked for forgiveness. And I repented fully and put my trust in Jesus. And I kept hearing all these guys saying, you'll be made new. You'll be given a new heart with new desires and things that seem pretty lofty to, you know, an unbeliever or a skeptic. But man, I got to tell you, it's true. It is so true.
Hallelujah.
I was given a new heart, new desires. I started to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. And living the way I was one of them. So it took me almost 3 years to get this detransition done.
And
part of that was, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Part of that was I faced some roadblocks, just trying to find a surgeon to get a mastectomy. Once surgeons found out what I was doing, that I was detransitioning, they all turned me down.
Amazing.
They didn't want any part.
Amazing.
Some of those were probably fine with giving me breasts, but nobody wanted to do it the other way around. It kind of goes against their agenda. And I was at the point where I was going to approach a gender clinic and just tell them that I am a female and I'm going to transition to male. And they would have helped me in 20 minutes, no problem, done. But at the last, I didn't really want to use them, but I felt like that was going to be my only option. But then at the last moment, a surgeon in Miami Beach came through for me and he said he would see me, and we talked and we got that done. And he was real nice, real good. And he told me too, he would only do detransitions. He would never consider a transition.
Oh, praise God. Is he a Christian?
He's not. Well, he's Jewish actually.
Okay.
So, but,
somebody who actually believes in the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was good. And, but it still took 3 years overall. And I finished that up in October of 2023. So I'm coming up on 1 year mark. And, ever since then, I'm trying to speak out, obviously against the trans agenda, especially as it pertains to children. And that's one of the things I want to try to focus on today, if we can. And also, you know, just spreading the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a huge focus of what I want to do. That's my life now, and I want to keep that going.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If you have a question for William Allen on our topic, which is part two of a topic that we began in July 1st of this year, From Transgendered to Transformed by Christ. If you have a question about that, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I can readily understand a topic like this to evoke personal and private questions from our listeners that may involve the listener, him or herself, battling the transgender desires, gender euphoria or dysphoria, and maybe even similar circumstances involving a child, a close friend or family member or loved one. But we understand those instances would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, the city and state of residence, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureComm Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureComm provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the monthly support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, on top of that, they are giving us the enormous mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created. Whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer, however. So I'm urging you, if you have any inclination to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's something that they have in stock or one-of-a-kind customized piece, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase, even if you're not making your final purchase today. The reason for the urgency is we have no idea when this wonderful offer is going to end. So to further ensure that we will get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners who mention this program, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with William Allen, author of Not Man Enough to Be a Woman, Transgendered for 30 Years, No Lie Lives Forever. This is part two of a discussion we began in July of this year. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal or private matter. Before we go into some very important information that you want to provide that involves the agenda of the leftist movement in regards to transgenderism, before we get into that, in order to protect the children of our listeners, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that you said before the break. Well, first of all, you had mentioned that this was something that you're detransitioning. You're desirous to return to the biological gender with which you were born. This was a roadblock, a brick wall you were hitting, seeking the surgical assistance of those doctors that perform so-called transgendered surgery, the same physicians that would eagerly and joyfully take your money to provide for you a surgery that would so-called transform you into the opposite gender, which we know doesn't happen. But when you wanted to return to your biological gender, the one with which you were born, time after time after time, until you finally encountered a Jewish surgeon that not only would help you, but would never do the reverse, would never do a so-called sex change operation for someone. This reveals that this is a fraud. This whole movement of being concerned that what people believe about their own gender identity, what they believe about it is vital to their health and well-being, is vital to prevent suicides. And we could go on and on and on. Well, obviously, that isn't true with many, if not most, of these frauds in the medical field, in addition to those who are just political activists. These folks are probably afraid of just the backlash of angry leftists who believe that you would be, in essence, discrediting the whole movement. Am I making sense here?
Yeah. It's and I think to some degree this goes to it speaks to the lies and the deception and the secret agenda of the trans movement, which we're going to get into, because they'll just flat out deny things that are happening, for which we have plenty of evidence for, you know. But to clarify, though, in my case, when I was seeking out surgeons, I live in Florida, and so I was looking for, I started with, cancer surgeons, mastectomy surgeons, just in my local area. Now, these were not surgeons that were experienced in transgender anything, per se. I was just looking for anybody that can give me a mastectomy. And so, like I said, as I was describing my situation to them, once I mentioned that I'm actually detransitioning, that's the point at which they just didn't want anything to do with me. They didn't. I'm not saying that they had anything to do with the transgender industry, but it seemed apparent to me that they were certainly on the left of, these issues. And I had expanded my search out to plastic surgeons and other surgeons all pretty much throughout the state of Florida, and was just getting nowhere. And that's when I found the surgeon in Miami Beach, Florida. Of course, it had to be Miami Beach. You know, people come from all over the world to get health care there. It's one of the most expensive places. And that was a costly endeavor, but well worth it. And so it's enabled me to do what I'm doing and start speaking out. And not from a hypocritical standpoint, too, which is very valuable to me. Well, but go ahead.
Well, you go ahead.
Well, now I forgot where I was going.
You had mentioned something that is a serious heresy that exists in the body of Christ. The absence of the doctrine of repentance in the gospel message proclaimed by a great multitude of professing evangelical Christians, how this is very much tied into the seriousness of this whole problem, because you have pastors and your ordinary everyday Christians reassuring people who are either living a life involved in homosexual activity, or they have been duped into the notion that they should be receiving transgendered surgery, that they have no need to repent of those things to be right with God. And that's a lie straight out of the pit of hell.
Well, you and I both know that there are multitudes of people, professing Christians, who are not. They don't even know what it means to be a Christian. If you were to ask them, how did you become a Christian? They can't tell you. Or they might say, I was born a Christian. Well, no, you weren't. I was raised a Christian. Okay, you're not a Christian. I did this event or something and came up in front of the congregation. That does not make you a Christian. They cannot point to describe exactly how they became a Christian. And it's clear to me. And there are no fruits of their salvation. That's what we have to contend with. And with all the lies that I talk about in this book, how the left and how the transgender ideology has infiltrated churches. That's a topic that I cover in this book. And this book, by the way, let me just give you a brief rundown. It's this book, by the way, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and several other platforms, Not Man Enough to Be a Woman. It's the first several chapters of the story of my life and how my gender dysphoria struggle from childhood and my relationship with my father. It's a father-son story. And when I told him what I was going to do, it did not go well. And we were estranged for 23 years. And then there was a deathbed reconciliation. So it's also the story of how I came to Christ. I put a lot of detail into that. And I give my testimony and I present the gospel. And hoping that whoever might read this, even if it is a LGBTQ or specifically trans people or whoever, I try to do it in a way that's not going to be off-putting to them, but I am speaking truth. And I don't skimp on that at all.
Yeah, the gospel will always offend those that do not desire for Christ to transform them.
Right.
And obviously we are not to add our own unnecessary offenses on top of that.
Right.
But the gospel, when truly declared, will always offend people.
Well, and I try to present it in a way that's that conveys how much better life can be, what a transformational life can be, and how it is to be rid of that compulsion. I mean, I am healed, and I have it's been about 4 years now since I had made that decision, and I've had no feelings whatsoever, urges, you know, to live that sort of lifestyle anymore. And I'm just grateful every day for God's patience. I've been in at least three life and death situations in my life, and so I've had plenty of opportunity to pass on. And gosh, I was stubborn, and God was very patient with me. And so yeah, I tell everybody about that. I'm so grateful. He is patient, but his patience does have limits. So. I'm trying to let people know about that as well.
And I'm sure you agree that, because this is what we are accused of by the repentance deniers who in my opinion are false professors in the body of Christ.
Right.
They're accusing us of teaching that people are earning their salvation. And in your case, they would be claiming that we are saying you earned your salvation by retransitioning back to your biological gender. We're saying that if you have truly been born again by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, you have.
I didn't anything.
Excuse me?
My salvation came before I detransitioned.
Right. Yeah. And you've been given a new heart, and a new creation in Christ would not be satisfied remaining that way.
Right.
And
right.
So therefore evidence, the fruit that you were truly born again was that you did stop pretending to be a woman.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was the fruits come after salvation. And works come after salvation. It's not salvation because of works.
Right.
No way. You can't earn it. You can't take it. Can't steal it. You can't get it in any other way. It's simply by repentance. It's by grace. If it involved works in any manner whatsoever, then grace is no longer grace, is it?
Amen. And the other thing I wanted to bring up that you had brought up during part one you corrected me, which proves that this sin, just like the vast majority, if not all, other sins, is not a cookie-cutter situation where everyone involved in a particular sin, and in this case, transgenderism, has an identical mindset, ideology, heartfelt experience, etc. Because you surprised me during part one by saying that you never thought you were a girl or a woman.
Yeah, that seems to be throwing a lot of people. Today you hear all these people, you hear these men saying, yeah, I identify as a woman, or I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, or I just am a woman. And no, you're not. And I never felt that way. From early childhood, I knew there were differences between boys and girls. And I knew I was a boy, but I just wanted to be a girl. I wished I had been born a girl, and I prayed on that all every night and cried myself to sleep praying that God would change me in the middle of the night. And of course that never happened, but I was a child. I thought anything could happen.
And you did not, or should I, I'm going to rephrase that by making a question rather than a statement. Did you believe that you had become a woman after the so-called transition surgery and hormonal treatments and so on?
No, never.
Really?
I was never under any delusions to who and what I was. I always knew I was a biological man, genetic man, and had some cosmetic surgeries. But I was living as a woman. I was successful. I passed, and I went to a voice coach, and my voice, everything. And I got to the point where people just didn't know. And I settled into a very comfortable career. I lived and worked around the world, different countries, and people just did not know unless I told them, which was rare. And when I did, sometimes they didn't even believe it. So, in fact, my best friend and next door neighbor in Florida, during the time leading up to my detransition, she had no clue. And when it came time to tell her, that was problematic for me. And I felt bad because she had a relationship with somebody who she considered her sister. She thought of us as sisters. And, you know, honestly, that's a relationship I, as a man, was just not entitled to. It was gained under false pretenses.
Okay.
And so that was a tough conversation.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break now. If you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least. City and state of residence and country of residence. Please try to respond to as many of our advertisers as you can, knowing that the financial support that comes through our advertisers is what keeps Iron Sharp and Zion Radio on the air. And also, obviously, send in your questions to William Allen at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with William Allen after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Mattoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello. Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highlight one book that is in perfect harmony with our discussion today. It is written by my very dear friend Rosaria Butterfield, and it is Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age. So you can get that at solid-ground-books.com. Amongst a multitude of other books on a multitude and a very wide spectrum of topics and also publishing dates. Some of these books have been rediscovered works buried beneath the rubble of time and brought to the surface and reintroduced to the body of Christ. Sometimes for the first time in centuries, books dating back as long ago as the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And or solid-ground-books.com has works throughout all the centuries of the church from the Reformation to the present day, including such modern works as books by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, William Allen, which is a part two of a conversation that we had on July 1st, part one of that conversation, or this conversation, on his book, Not Man Enough to Be a Woman, Transgendered for 30 Years, No Lie Lives Forever. The book is finally in print. And one of the reasons we had William back on the show. But before I return to that conversation, I'd like to remind you that if you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer a snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a medical firm or a law firm, or maybe it's just a special event, as long as it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign very soon, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And I never want any Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener to forget that as urgently and as desperately as we need your financial help, I never want anybody in our audience giving less money to your own church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, never cut in to the finances that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your church. Never cut into that money to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a gift. And if you are personally struggling to survive financially and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible's very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still God's money, to provide for our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to go off the air, and you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you don't want us to go off the air. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches and have helped many people all over the world find biblically faithful churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too, no matter where you live in the world, if you are without a biblically sound church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to our guest today, William Allen, author of Not Man Enough to Be a Woman, Transgendered for 30 Years, No Lie Lives Forever. And we are going to be entering into the area of having William provide for us some important information about the agenda of the left, which not only includes the LGBTQ so-called community, but those who are leftists in all matters of ideology, who are seeking to pollute the minds of the children of our land, and also to really take over the authority that is rightly only an authority that the parents of children are supposed to have. They're trying to replace the parents in having authority over children, even having secrets that they maintain with children and don't inform parents about sex change procedures. And of course, we know there's no such thing as that, but things that are very damaging physically and mentally and emotionally to children, some irreversible and some life-threatening. But before we go to any listener questions, I want you to start with some of these things that we may not have had time to mention in our first interview in July.
Yeah, thanks for that. The last three chapters of the book are devoted to the trans agenda and their lies, their secret intentions. And in the research that I did, I was stunned. I learned things, some things that just turned my stomach, but I had to document them. And I'm still only skimming the surface, but these are things we really need to be aware of. as parents, as people going forth, you know, with the gospel, churches, governments, officials. We all need to be aware of these things. I kind of got the ball rolling in these chapters by mentioning a song that came out 2 or 3 years ago. It was by the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. And let me just read you some of these lyrics. You say we all lead lives you can't respect, but you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Fine. Just this once, you're correct. And the chorus goes, we'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you'll barely notice it. We'll convert your children. Now that ought to send chills down your spine.
Sent chills down mine. Now, just out of curiosity, was this intended to be a farce, a comedy song that was making fun of the...
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. In fact, when I watched it, it was hard to find the whole song because 2 days after they released it, they took it down because there was such a backlash, and they took it down. So I had to find bits and pieces of the songs from different media outlets that still had it on let's say on YouTube. And so those were just some of the lyrics. And the guy, it starts off with one guy singing it, and then it expands out into the whole chorus, you know, in a big checkerboard, and they're all singing this. But when that first guy, when he got to the chorus, we'll convert your children, the look on his face, it changed, and it was evil, just demented, and it was scary. So this is what they're doing. And you know, they had gay pride parades recently, and in a recent one, marchers, they were chanting, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. Now, when these people are telling you who they are, we ought to believe them. We really ought to believe them. One thing I mentioned, I added this at the very last moment before it was published. In recent news, I'll just read this to you. In recent news, the LGBTQ plus community testified before the California State Assembly in opposition to Senate Bill 1414. Which makes it a felony to solicit or engage in commercial sex with a minor, carrying a penalty of up to 4 years in prison and a $25,000 fine. Just to make sure you understand, I repeat, the LGBTQ plus community does not want to go to jail for having sex with children.
So,
gee, imagine that.
So it is just another one of the many lies of the so-called LGBTQ community, and I hate that. They're not a community, but
I know.
But it's one of the many lies that this is predominantly, and I've even heard some say exclusively, a heterosexual sexual problem,
mm-hmm.
where mm-hmm. heterosexual middle-aged males predominantly are molesting children, and this is not happening at the hands of queers. And I use that term because they use it themselves.
Well, keep in mind, the plus includes pedophiles.
Yes, I even had a guest on the program who sought to prove that. Well,
so, Chris, next, there's a tactic that this community uses. And if I can just give an example. I'm sure y'all have heard of Drag Queen Story Hour. And I first heard about this probably 10 years ago. And I just was thinking, what in the world? How could this possibly be a thing? I mean, who's going to let drag queens come into the schools and read books to children? And then evidence started coming, videos were coming out of this actually happening in school libraries and public libraries, in the children's section of the library, and they're gathering children up, and parents are there as well. And these drag queens, dressed, you know, provocatively, are reading books to children. And at first, I didn't even give any thought to the actual books that they're reading. It was later that I started hearing that they're reading books about gay sex. They're indoctrinating these kids, right? And some of these books that they're reading are very explicit, and they have pictures, they have diagrams on how to conduct gay sex, how to engage in gay sex. And I at first, I just didn't believe it. And so when this all started to come out, what this community did, what the left did, and they denied it. Oh, this is not happening. Then you'd hear it on the media and government officials. That's not happening.
You still hear it.
Or more and more evidence started coming out. Videos started coming out. And then, so their stance changed. And this is all part of the tactic. First is denial. The next step is, oh, that's not happening, and it's okay if it is. Right? If it is happening, don't worry about it. Then it goes from that to, okay, yeah, it is happening, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And then it goes to, why are you concerned? What is your problem? You know, why do you want to deprive these kids of information? They put it all back on you. And why are you asking questions? What's it to you? Well, I think we ought to be asking them is, why do these drag queens want to be spending so much time with our children?
Right.
Right. But this tactic is being used over and over. Other things started to happen. We started hearing about these books that are in the libraries. And parents are getting upset because their children are bringing home books that their school librarian gave them about queer this and queer that and transing, changing your sex and all that. And at first they denied it. And then they say, well, okay, maybe it's happening, but it's okay that it's happening. And then it's a good thing that it's happening. And again, they get to, what is your problem? They put it back on you. And this goes to gender-affirming care, so-called gender-affirming care. They can't even call things what they truly are. They have to assign benign-sounding phrases, so-called gender-affirming care and life-saving care. What they're talking about is putting children, Chris, on puberty blockers, what they call puberty blockers. Now, these are the same drugs that are given to prison inmates that have been convicted of sexual assault. They're given to them to chemically castrate them. And the left and physicians even will claim that these are safe and that all they do is pause puberty. And this is a lie. And they say that it's reversible. And that's a lie. Permanent damage is caused by these drugs. In addition to these drugs, sex hormones, and those cause permanent damage. But again, they just give them benign sounding phrases. And all through that, gender clinics at hospitals around the country, whistleblowers were coming out, and other people were accusing these hospitals of so-called gender-affirming care on minors, children, as young as 6 years old, and the hospitals all denied it. This is not happening. And then they went through that whole cycle of, okay, yeah, it's happening, but, it's okay. And then, the rest. And so several hospitals got in trouble about that. And I document all this in the book. I then start to cover. It really started with feminism, and the minority population, like trans or even just LGBTQ in general. How in the world does a minority like that impose its will on them?
Yeah, you're starting to break up, brother. I don't know what's
happening. They go through a lot of steps. And they change our language. They take drastic steps and put in a lot of effort and money into actually changing our language. One example is they've changed the definition of speech, really, hate speech, and they've designated it as violence, right? In Canada, it's actually law now. If you misgender somebody, you can go to jail. They will arrest you because you have committed violence. If you encounter a trans person, a man who is pretending to be a woman, and you refer to him as sir, you can go to jail.
And that, and in reality, is not misgendering them at all.
Correct. Yeah, you're just speaking truth. But you'll go to jail for that. And
now, where is that? Where is that happening?
Well, that's in Canada, and it's starting to happen here in the U.S. They're in California and other LGBTQ hotspots. They're trying to get laws on the books where they can designate certain language as violence. And the reason that they want to do that is so that they can then justify violence against you. Right? So if you say misgender somebody, they could haul off and beat the heck out of you physically. And they say, oh, I was just, that was self-defense. He committed violence against me with something he said, so I can now legally beat him up or kill him, maybe. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go, right? But that's just one of the things. You know, they gaslight, and they come up with all these pronouns and different genders, and they do it with the attitude of, you have to conform to their whims, and if you don't, they'll throw a tantrum, and they make it sound like you're the child, you know. They infiltrate everything, you know. We just had the Olympics, and I'm sure everybody saw and heard about the two male boxers competing in women's boxing. Why there's women's boxing in first place is beyond me, but okay, whatever. But yeah, these two men dominated the women in women's boxing. And this is happening in women's sports. And they deny it. The agenda will deny it. There's a documentary out called What is a Woman? It's done by Matt Walsh. And there's a segment in there where Dr. Marcy Bowers, who was a transgender surgeon who performs transgender surgeries. And she, I'm sorry, he states that this is a rarity that men are competing in these sports, and certainly a rarity that they're actually dominating in sports. And this was what that surgeon said was overlaid onto a montage of men dominating in women's sports. In the book, I documented 5 or 6 pages of men dominating and stealing awards, medals, trophies, scholarships, endorsements, all sorts of accolades from women. It's so much more than you could imagine. Most everybody's probably heard of Riley Gaines, the swimmer, and the so-called trans male swimmer in the University of Pennsylvania, Leah Thomas, who was actually William, and he stole the championship from her. And that one is pretty well known. But there are so many more than you can imagine. And I've documented a lot of them. It's happening in beauty pageants. Men around the country are beating women in beauty pageants. And I have a whole page, one or two pages of that listed in the book. These things are suicide rates. Another thing, they claim that if we don't allow trans or allow children to transition, that the suicide rates will go up. And they have no evidence for that. No studies claim that. In fact, a recent study in the UK just disputed that. I'm going a mile a minute here. I'm just trying to get a lot. I want the listeners to really hear what's going on. you know, over time, we might hear about a specific incident happen. Maybe a few months later, we hear something else. And any one of these things by themselves, they don't phase us. What I tried to do here was include a lot, just bring it all together, because I want to get people riled up. These things are happening. And one of the worst that just really angers me is these doctors. They will come at parents with a question. And this question is, would you rather have a dead daughter or an alive son? And Chris, man, that is evil. That is just emotional blackmail.
That's right.
They're coming at parents that are already in distress about their child who has expressed these urges or these concerns. And they, in good faith, go find a doctor to try to make some sense out of all this. And the first thing they want to do is trans the kid. Got to trans the kid. And it's demented. Just so you know, the transgender medical community, it's an industry. It's a $2.1 billion industry right now, and that's expected to double by 2030. So is it any wonder that these hospitals and these medical organizations, they're coming after the kids?
Well, we have a relative question to that from a listener.
Yeah.
We have Denise in Benton, Arkansas, who says, excuse me if you've already addressed this in the program, I'm listening late, but is it hype by the right that children are actually being coached and also permitted to have hormonal or surgical treatments to so-called change their gender by teachers in schools and guidance counselors without the permission of the parents?
It is not hype. The left will tell you it is. Like I said, they always start off with the denials and then they move on. But no, I've got the proof right in the book, and I didn't discover the proof. It's already out there. I just did research and kind of brought it all together. In the book, in these chapters as well, when I make a claim, I back it up with the actual studies or the evidence. And I have QR codes there that you can scan that will take you straight to that data or to a video. And it's some of it's horrifying. It's not hype. No, they are actually coming after them. I have videos of teachers, you know, the multicolored hair, pierced and tatted teachers with the pride flags all up in their classroom and the gender books all over the place on the shelves. And I'm wondering, when are they finding time to teach reading and writing and arithmetic and various other things that they need to be teaching? No, they're hitting their children. Well, they call them their children. And the message I have for those teachers is they are not your children. That's something that we need to stand up for and let them know they are not their children. They are their parents' children. And in schools around the country, there are laws in place right here in the United States that prohibit teachers from telling their parents about their children's desires. And so during the day, their children can be whatever the gender they want.
Now, how do they finance the pharmaceutical or surgical end of that? The school.
Well, they don't go that far in school. What they do is they let the children go through the day. So they'll come in and they can dress in whatever clothes that they want to dress in, and then the teachers will call them whatever they want to be called and use the pronouns they want to use. Now, if they can get parents' support and buy-in, then, you know, they go see the doctors and they start getting the puberty blockers.
Oh, so then, in other words, that extreme position can only be done with the consent of the parents.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you would think. In some states, children are being taken away from their parents. In California, this actually happens. If it's law that if you don't support your children's desire to transition, the state can take your children, Child Protective Services, and you basically have no say.
Now, what would happen to the creepy neighbor who's not a school teacher or a guidance counselor? He has no connection with the school. The creepy neighbor who is...
You glitched out there a little bit. I'm sorry. Could you back up?
What would happen legally, and it may differ from state to state, what would happen legally to the creepy next-door neighbor who is doing the same thing with someone's child, convincing them to dress according to their preferred gender and trying to convince them even to go to the extreme of getting the pharmaceutical, hormonal, and surgical things accomplished? Would anything legally be done to prosecute just the ordinary creep that lives in the neighborhood doing that, who's an adult? Are you there?
Well, yeah, I lost you there for a moment. It came back. Sorry. I think what you were asking was something about a neighbor.
Yeah, in other words, somebody who's not working for a school, but is doing right. But is doing exactly what these leftist, satanic teachers and guidance counselors are doing.
Yeah. Well, it happens. And legally, I mean, I can't speak really to legally what could happen, but that's a problem. And parents, I think, need to be obviously concerned and more involved in their children's upbringing. You know, back in my day growing up, we just roamed the neighborhood all day long. Our parents didn't know what we were doing. But today, you can't do that. Parents have to be more involved and keep tabs on what's going on with their children. It's just getting out of hand. So these teachers are indoctrinating their children, and parents are indoctrinating their children too. Sometimes parents, they want their kids to do this. I don't know if you've heard of the actress Megan Fox. She has three boys, and all three of them are trans. Now you got to wonder, what are the odds of that happening? It's impossible. So it's obvious who influenced that, right? So that's the kind of thing we got to be on the lookout for as well.
Okay. By the way, Denise, in Bryant, Arkansas, or Benton, I'm sorry, Benton, Arkansas, you have received or will receive a free copy of the book that we have been addressing by my guest today, Not Man Enough to Be a Woman, Transgendered for 30 Years, No Lie Lives Forever. If you give us your full mailing address in Benton, Arkansas, you will receive that book. We have... Gail in Fairmount, New York. And Gail asks, has the Lord used you yet to convince someone out of the transgendered life?
Oh, wow. Great question. Generally, I hope so, but I do know of one, yes. I have a friend in Canada who a few years ago told me that she was going to transgender. She wanted to be a man, and she had started the hormones. And she told me that it was because of something I said. And I just, that really broke my heart. Apparently at one point I said something to the effect of, it's never too late. And I certainly was not referring to that. I mean, she's my age. I'm old. I'm in my 60s, and she is too. But I certainly was not referring to transgendering. What happened? I called her, and we talked, and I tried to talk her out of it, and I also presented the gospel as well. But She eventually stopped. What happened was she wound up in the hospital. She was on the testosterone. She wound up in the hospital with severe issues, health issues. And they forced her to stop the testosterone because her body just couldn't take it. And, you know, maybe that was a blessing in disguise, but she talked to me later. She said, okay, she's put that out of her mind. It did have an effect on her voice. It lowered her voice considerably. So she has to live with that. But, you know, she's trying to get through life. There's other issues as well. So there's one at least that I know of, just with the book and speaking out and debates that I get into on Twitter. You know, I do get some hate there, and I have a lot of the LGBTQ, they come at me, and I try to engage in debate, and I try to do it lovingly. It would be so easy just to react and try to put them in their place, but I'm trying not to do that. I find that I'm approaching things a lot differently now, though, since I've been saved, and I just look at things so differently now. And so, again, I just try to present the gospel to these folks. So I hope that I've reached others. I hope I will reach more. Yeah, that's my goal.
Well, listener, you've also won a free copy of my guest's book, so please make sure you give us your full mailing address there in upstate New York, and Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, will ship that out to you. We're going to our final break. If you have a question, send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And please don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please make sure you tell Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, another quick reminder to please pray for my longtime friend, Gary Wolf, who I've known since high school. He was a member of the same church where I was saved in the 1980s as well. He has stomach cancer, the same illness that took the life of his sister not long ago. And last I heard an update from Gary, he was in the hospital with blood clots. So please pray for Gary Wolf for his miraculous healing and that the Lord enables him to face and triumph over this terrifying battle in his life as a very strong ambassador for Christ, and that people would observe his Christ-likeness in the hospital and elsewhere, and that he may even be used of God to lead many that he encounters to the Lord. But please pray for my dear friend, Gary Wolf. We have a listener, James in Hooksett, New Hampshire, who wants to know, are there any laws in any of the United States that would make it a crime for a so-called transgendered person to keep their true biological identity hidden from someone who becomes a sexual partner or even a spouse?
I'm not aware of any laws. I know that when I was living that life, I wasn't under any obligation that I know of to come out to anybody that I encountered. For me personally, it wasn't that much of an issue because I wasn't really engaging any personal relationships like that. But there may be. I don't know.
It's kind of interesting that I've never heard anybody discuss it on television or, yeah, or anywhere else.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't hear too many questions that I haven't gotten before, but that's a good one. I'll have to look into that. Yeah.
All right, James, give us your full mailing address in Hooksett, New Hampshire, and we will have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service send you a copy of my guest's book, Not Man Enough to Be a Woman, Transgendered for 30 Years, No Lie Lives Forever. I'd like you to summarize what you now most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, Chris, here's a bit of information I want to arm your listeners with, because you're going to face this. If you're not facing it personally, you've got a friend maybe who has a child or somebody, you're going to encounter this. It's getting so popular. I'm just going to read this directly out of the book. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubescent children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Now, I fell into the minority of that report, and I did not experience resolution by late adolescence, obviously. Some of us won't, but the vast majority will. So why not let that happen? Why would you, as a parent, let your child go through medical treatments that are harmful and irreversible? You may think you're doing the right thing for your child, but you're not. You're causing more harm than good. So the vast majority of these kids are going to grow out of this, Chris, and the medical community is coming after your children. They're convincing your parents to take all these harmful steps, and they're just going to scar your child for life. There are hundreds, if not thousands now, of young adult detransitioners. Of course, the left will deny this. Remember that tactic they use, that cycle. They'll deny it. But they're coming out, and they're mad. They were transitioned as children, and it was not the right thing. And they're detransitioning. And the problem now is most of them are sterile. They can't perform functionally, sexually. They're having a whole host of other medical issues, osteoporosis. They're having heart issues. It just goes on and on and on. And their lives are ruined. And the left will deny this is happening, but please know that it is happening and there is evidence. All you have to do is go find it.
Well, I would love to hear about victories in the courtroom with my friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, where he was suing hospitals and physicians for medical malpractice for sexually mutilating children. And I hope more lawsuits like that rise up and that these people are crushed financially.
Yeah, we're going to see a huge rise in litigation on these issues, yes.
And
a lot of malpractice.
I would also love to see them in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
what they deserve.
It's quite vile, disgusting, and satanic.
Well, literally child abuse, yes.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners know where they can purchase the book, those of you who have not won the book, or even if you won the book today and you want to get other copies to give away, go to notmanenoughtobeawoman.com, notmanenoughtobeawoman.com, and you can order the book there.
Yeah, you can order actually go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Ingram. Just about any of the book outlets you can find it. It is available there. It's available in Kindle version as well, paperback and hardcover. Please, if you want to support me, buy the book because that's what's going to keep me in the fight.
Amen. Well, it's been great to have you back on the program. It was utterly fascinating once again. I want to thank you for doing that, opening up about a private kind of a situation like that, because you want people to be rescued out of this and be saved by the grace and mercy of Christ. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.